Hi, you're listening to Bonus Boys, the official podcast of Mr. Astle's theology class. Join us as we put out into the deep and explore the world of theology and beyond.
Today, we're talking about what to do when prayer is dry, unappealing, and just not fun. Let's begin. Well, hello there, and welcome to episode 60 of Bonus Points. You know, during this season of Lent, when this episode's being recorded, a lot of us are rightfully trying to pray more. Hopefully, you have an established prayer routine. If not, you should. And occasionally, especially this far into Lent, I'm recording this here at the beginning of the fifth week of Lent. This is around the time when it becomes difficult, if it hasn't already. And even outside of Lent, very often in our prayer lives, we find ourselves not looking forward to it. You know, we have this experience, maybe at the beginning of prayer, where there's joy, there's warmth, God feels close. But then other days that gives way and our experience of prayer is dry. So today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what that is, where that comes from, a couple different possible causes for dryness in prayer, and then finally what our response can be. So before we get into that, remember to check out bonuspointspodcast.com for all sorts of information about the show, including an episode guide with further resources if you want to know more. You can also subscribe to Bonus Points or follow Bonus Points wherever you're listening so that you never miss an episode. Okay, let's start with maybe some definitions or by defining our terms a little bit. So when it comes to the spiritual life or mystical theology, there are different schools of thought. There are different spiritualities, and they're going to talk about the spiritual life different. Even though they're all describing the same thing, they're going to use different words. So, for example, we have St. Ignatius of Loyola, who's going to use words like consolation and desolation. But then you have, like, St. John of the Cross, who's going to use words like dark night. And yes, those are different. Desolation and the dark night are two different things, but they're describing similar experiences. So I like to mix and match. I appreciate a lot of Ignatian spirituality. I'm a Carmelite at heart. And so I tend to take both of those and use them together. So if you are already familiar with some of those terms, you're going to hear me using them not quite as precisely as others might, but I think we'll get the point across. So what we're really talking about today is our emotional response to prayer, or maybe not even emotion, but on the level of intellect and will. So things like our desire to pray, our experience of that prayer, our motivation, even our distraction is going to be part of it. So sometimes we go to prayer and it's great, it's awesome, right? We can go into the chapel, we can pray our holy hour, we can pray for however long, and we have this sensible experience of God's presence. I like to call them the warm fuzzies, where God feels close, his love for us is very tangible, our prayer is enjoyable, it is, you know, life-giving in the best ways. Even when we do have to leave prayer, part of us recognizes, I could have stayed in there all day, right? And that's not to say it was perfect. Even during these times, we often fall to distraction. That's just going to be there. But the experience of consolation is one in which God feels very close. His love, you know, you don't have to tell me twice that God loves me. I'm feeling that warmth. Other times, we go to prayer and we don't have that. We have an experience, you know, okay, sometimes there's what we call the experience of tranquility, where you didn't feel set on fire, but it was pleasant enough. You were calm. There was peace. We have the image of an ocean without really high waves. It's just kind of still. And then on the kind of the reverse side of that, sometimes we go to prayer and it's very dry. When we talk about dryness in prayer, what we're talking about is a lack of those things, a lack even of peace to some extent, but especially a lack of motivation and a lack of response, where we don't feel that closeness of God. The prayer does not feel enjoyable. We're probably sitting there, if we've set aside, we say we're going to pray for 15 minutes, we might be checking our watch every few seconds. That's the experience of dryness, where there is no desire to pray. And if we are praying, we're going to be more distracted than usual. We're going to feel like we get less out of it. And then, of course, there's also kind of a, if we're picturing a spectrum here, there's also the experience of desolation, which is where it's not just that we don't feel God's presence, we actually feel abandoned by God. In the experience of desolation, it's, you know, if we have tranquility, which is kind of a pleasant calm, and then consolation, which is being set on fire, dryness and desolation are the mirror image of that. We have dryness, which is just a lack of that enjoyment, a lack of that motivation. And then desolation, which is feeling abandoned by God. We go to prayer, and it's not just that we're watching the clock tick. It's that we're actually thinking, God doesn't hear me, or God doesn't love me. And in our spiritual lives, we are going to experience all of the above, right? And so the first thing I want to say here is, if your experience of prayer has included dryness or has included desolation, don't panic. That doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. All that means is you have a normal spiritual life. You know, it's the we can make a lot of analogies between the spiritual life and the physical life. You're going to have days where you feel great. You're going to have days where you don't feel great. And sometimes it can be connected to our actions, but other times it just kind of happens. So that's what we want to really dig into, is what are some of the possible reasons when we do feel dryness or even desolation, and then what should we do? So if you're listening to this, and as I'm describing dryness or desolation, that has been your experience more than anything, keep listening. This one's for you. And if that's not been your experience, if, praise God, you've always experienced that tranquility or that consolation, again, praise God, but also know that's not going to last forever. We call that the law of undulation, that in our spiritual lives, there's going to be that back and forth, right? There's going to be a little bit of that pendulum from consolation to desolation, from tranquility to dryness. So, what causes spiritual dryness? Now, most spiritual writers agree that at the beginning of the spiritual life, you're going to experience more consolation than you will at other points. Maybe not constant, but one of the common characteristics of the prayer life of somebody who's really just started out. So when we talk about this roadmap of the spiritual life, the starting point is the decision to give oneself to Christ, right? That conscious decision to sin no more, to believe in the gospel, to cultivate that life of prayer and virtue. We say that's the starting point, right? Before that, if we're in a state of mortal sin, if we're living in regular sin, we can't even really say that you have begun the spiritual life yet. But when once you have that moment where, and praise God, some people have this moment as children, and this, they start right out. But for others, you know, there's that moment where we really step back and we say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to live the virtues. I'm going to live a life of prayer. That's the start, right? And in another episode, we'll talk about the three stages or the three ages of the interior life, the purgative way, the illuminative way, and the unitive way. And if you're one of my seniors listening, we're actually going to be talking about that in class in just a few weeks. But what we often find is that people who are just starting out, people who have just made that commitment, they're usually going to experience more consolation. Why is that? Well, first of all, it's like that first gulp of water when you're really thirsty. You have a deeper appreciation for something you've been missing, right? But the other part of it is that that consolation is given by God as an encouragement. God's trying to reinforce them to say, hey, you just started this. Great job. Keep it up, right? And so very often, people who are just beginning to form habits of prayer are going to experience more of that consolation because that's God trying to help them get the habit to stick, right? After some time goes by and that habit forms a little bit more, that's when things like dryness and desolation are going to come in. So that's one reason, is, and ultimately the reason for dryness is because God allows it, right? Even if we're going to list five reasons that I would consider to be the big ones. But at the end of the day, there's only one, and that is God has allowed this. We can ask ourselves why, but again, there's one reason why God would allow it, and it is to draw us closer to Him. The whole spiritual life, the whole life of prayer, is about union with God. It's about God drawing us into Himself, uniting us with Him, you know, bringing us into the very heart of the Holy Trinity. And so any desolation or dryness we experience, we can take heart and know that that's part of it, right? God can use that to bring us closer, to draw us in. So ultimately, there's one reason for dryness in prayer, and it's that God allows it. And there's one reason that He allows it, and it's to bring us closer to Him. But let's get a little bit more precise, shall we? So I would say the first reason that we should think about if we're experiencing dryness or desolation, the first question I would ask, am I committing sins? You know, I have my prayer time, maybe I have that half hour in the morning or whatever it is, great. Am I then going out and not living the virtues? Because virtue and prayer are going to be connected. And all the virtues are connected too. So even if I say, well, you know, I think I hit most of the virtues, but there's that one that just isn't going to happen. Yeah, that's not how it works. If we're weak in virtue, if we're regularly turning away from God's law and God's love, well then, yeah, it makes sense. Our prayer's not going to be what it should be. And if those sins are mortal sins, we believe that mortal sins actually cut off the life of grace, and they take us out of right relationship with God. So if we are in a state of mortal sin, then it makes sense that our prayer's not going to be as it should, because we have removed ourselves from right relationship with God, and prayer is the experience of that relationship. And if our relationship's not right, the conversation's going to be awkward. We know that with our friends, it's true with God. That's not to say that we can't or shouldn't pray when we're in a state of mortal sin. In fact, that's probably when we need to pray the most. But what it does mean is, hey, there's something not right in this relationship. You need to fix that, right? So maybe that can be, if you're hearing this and you think, okay, so that's probably why my prayer is dry. Go to confession, get that relationship back in right order, and then you can start building it, right? So that's number one. Sometimes our prayer is dry because our hearts are turned away from God, and our hearts aren't going to be able to recognize God's presence if they're turned away from Him. Along with that, sometimes we experience dryness in prayer as a result of lukewarmness. So what I mean by that is that, you know, we can do things because we want to. We can do things because we are required to. We can do things because we know that they are right. We have all sorts of motivations for doing things. And we all know that sometimes when we do something, we don't put our best effort, we don't put our heart into it. And when we apply that to prayer, we use the word lukewarmness, right? You're not cold, you're not going to your prayer time, but you're also not really trying. You know, and I don't want to make it seem like the spiritual life is all about our effort, right? At the end of the day, this is all God's action, but there is an element that is based on our effort. When we talk about the spiritual life, there's this transition that happens from what's called ascetical prayer to mystical prayer. Mystical prayer, like contemplative prayer, is infused by God. It's given as a gift. But ascetical prayer is, you know, that word ascetical comes from the Greek word for exercise. There are things we have to do, right? God wants us to put in some effort. Not that we're going to generate a good prayer life by our effort, but He wants us to buy in, right? He wants our side of the relationship. And so if we're not doing that, if maybe we're just going through the motions in our prayer time, again, it's better to show up than to not show up. But if when we show up, we're allowing ourselves to be distracted, we're, you know, looking at the clock, waiting, counting down, just can't wait to get out of there. Well then, yeah, your experience is probably going to be dry, right? And again, prayer is not about our effort. And even when I say allowing ourselves to be distracted, we can be distracted against our will, right? Sometimes we're really trying to focus and our mind is, you know, it's like a monkey jumping from branch to branch. That's okay. What I'm talking about when I say we allow ourselves to be distracted is sometimes that monkey starts jumping from branch to branch and we would rather watch that. So sometimes we go to prayer, we allow ourselves to be distracted. Not all distraction is that, but we all know that experience where sometimes we get distracted and we're more than okay with it. So if our prayer is lukewarm or we're not putting our heart into it, our experience is going to be dry. Again, sin if our heart's turned away from God, lukewarmness if our heart's not there at all. The third reason is one that I think is very common, and especially for people who, you know, you really are trying. You are doing your best to live the virtues, to avoid sin. You are doing your best to put your full attention into your prayer, you know, so you it's not sin, it's not lukewarmness, and yet you still feel dryness. I'd say the next thing to consider after that is, are you tired? Are you sick? Are you hungry? Is there some physical component to your dryness? You know, we are, I say it so often, it should be the motto of the show. We are a body-soul composite, right? You are a body and you are a soul. Your body's not just the way your soul interacts with the world. It's part of who you are. And so physical problems are going to affect the spirit and vice versa. There's a connection between the two. So if you go to prayer, you know, let's say you made a commitment, you're going to wake up at 4 a.m. and you're going to pray vigils. And let's say one night you're doing homework, you don't get to bed until 1:30. Well, let me tell you, your experience of prayer at 4 a.m. probably isn't going to be all that great. And God sees your effort. He loves that. He is so glad that you made that commitment and that you're sticking to it. But we shouldn't be surprised when our experience of that prayer is dry because we're tired, right? It's not even a spiritual problem at that point. Our physical state has an effect on our spiritual state. So that's the next question I would ask. Am I tired? Am I sick? Like, is there a physical cause to this? The fourth question I would ask, if I'm kind of going through my list here, is this the wrong kind of prayer for this time in my life, for this season? So anyone who has anything more than a passing familiarity with the Catholic Church knows that we have a million and a half different devotions, right? There are chaplets, there are prayers, there are novenas, there are so many that a lot of people, when they first come into the faith or when they first start to really explore this, they get overwhelmed very quickly. Even something like, okay, scapular, good. But wait, there's also this thing called a green scapular. What, there's a blue scapular? How am I supposed to wear all these? You can tell them they're walking around hunched over from every saint medal they're trying to wear at the same time. And, you know, it's good that we have all these devotions, right? Praise God for giving us so many ways to engage with our faith. But not all of them are right for all of us. You know, we have the public prayer of the church. We have the Mass. The church says, yeah, that one's for everybody. That's indispensable. But all of those things which we would consider popular piety, including all the different kinds of prayer that you might build into your life, not all of those are right for everybody. And so sometimes we experience dryness because the way that we're praying isn't right for us at that time. Maybe it's just not, it doesn't click with your temperament, it doesn't click with your personality. You're not able to engage with that form of prayer as well as with others. And maybe it's just not right for that season in your life. I can say, just for me, looking at what my prayer life was like before having a child and now after, it's very different, right? The kinds of prayer that I'm able to engage with, that I even have the time and capacity to engage with, that's very different now. And I know one day when the kids are grown up and out of the house, I know that's also going to change my prayer life. I'm sure that, you know, what a holy hour looked like for me before I had children, and what a holy hour for me looks like now, and what it will look like in a couple decades, those are going to be three very different things. And that's okay, right? So sometimes we experience dryness. That can be a cue for us to examine the way we're praying and see, you know, does this really click with me right now? Is this the way God wants me to engage with Him in this season of my life? And then finally, the last reason, and maybe you've gone through all that, maybe you're like, no, it's none of those. Even within all of these other ones, the fundamental reason why God would allow this, we said is to draw us closer to Him, but how does taking away consolation, how does dryness in prayer, how does that draw me closer to Him? We call it purgation. And this is the idea that before we can be filled up with God, we have to be emptied, right? Anything in us that is contrary to God has to be purged, has to be removed. And the first purgation that happens when we first, that's why we call the first part of the spiritual life the purgative way. When we first begin the spiritual life, that's going to be things like sin, an attachment to sin, desire for sin. But the deeper we get, God is going to purge us even of our attachment to spiritual goods. So first, we need to be purged of our attachment to physical goods, right? You can't serve both God and mammon. But God also will eventually purge us of our desire for spiritual benefits, things like consolation, because God doesn't want us to pray because of what we get out of it, right? If every time we went to pray, assuming we put our heart into it and we weren't lukewarm and all that, if I knew that every time I went to pray, I was going to have this warm, fuzzy experience of God's love and it's going to be very enjoyable, well, I know myself well enough to know that soon I'll be praying just for that. My motivation won't be God. I won't pray to get to know Him, to come into contact with Him. I'm going to be praying so that I get something out of it. And that is not what God wants. That's not prayer. So eventually we hit that stage, and we see that in what John of the Cross calls the dark night of the spirit and the dark night of the soul, the dark night of the senses, all the above, is that God wants to purify us of all those things which are separating us from Him, including our tendency to want comforts. And so maybe that's it. Maybe you're reaching that stage. Maybe you're about to enter that next part of the spiritual life, and God's trying to prepare you for that by purifying your desires, by purifying your intentions, by saying, listen, I don't want you to come here because it's enjoyable for you. I want you to come here to be with Me. And He's going to remove everything that isn't Him. But rest assured, He is still there, right? We think of the Song of Songs, one of my favorite books of the Bible, where it describes, you know, have you seen my lover? I can't find him. But then they have this dramatic reunion. So what do we do? Real quick, just what should we do? If you're experiencing dryness, the first thing I would suggest, if you aren't sure why, if even after hearing all these possible reasons, and again, there could be others, right? This isn't a comprehensive list. But let's say you hear these reasons and you're not sure what is causing your dryness. Talk to somebody. Talk to a spiritual director if you have one. If you don't have one, talk to your priest. Talk to somebody you know who you trust, somebody who's knowledgeable about the spiritual life, who can help you discern, who can help you by asking questions and really help you nail down why you're experiencing dryness at this point. The next thing I would say is offer it up. Right? This dryness, this desolation is from God. either because we're not holding up our end and he's letting it happen as a wake-up call, or he's allowing us to be purged. We're undergoing that purgation. Either way, that time of prayer can be offered to God. And so when we go into prayer, that's already time given to God, right? God gives us 24 hours a day. Prayer time is the time that we offer back to him as a sacrifice. Sometimes we feel like we're wasting our time when we pray, but we're only wasting our time in the same way that the incense in the temple was wasted when it was burned, right? No, it was being given to God. It was being offered to God. And so from our perspective, it might look like a waste, but that's really the best possible use for it. So we go into prayer, we're already giving that time to God. We can make a very intentional effort to say, I'm giving you this time, no matter what my experience of it is. Whether I feel consolation or I feel desolation or I don't feel anything at all, this is your time, God. And so I want to make it the best offering I can. And so I'm going to do my best not to get distracted. I'm going to do my best to put my heart into it. Because at the end of the day, this is your time, not mine. And then finally, perhaps most importantly, be persistent, right? If God allows these purgations to reorient us, to make sure our motivations are in the right place, the worst thing we can do is give up and stop praying. The worst thing we can do is just kind of say, well, guess I'm going to stop. No, keep praying. Keep your routine. St. Ignatius cautions us against making too many changes to our prayer routine in a state of desolation. So that's also where a good spiritual director or trusted spiritual friend can help. They can help you see, is this dryness caused because I'm doing the wrong kinds of prayer? If not, don't change anything, right? Keep going, be persistent, wait for that tranquility before you start making changes. Because at the end of the day, the worst thing you can do for your prayer life is stop your prayer life. So a few resources I have for you today. I'm just going to link to a few books on the spiritual life, some of the ones that have been the most helpful for me or just the most interesting. But other than that, I don't have too much for today, just a few good books. I could recommend a whole shelf full of books about the spiritual life, but I'll try to narrow it down. And remember, you can find those show notes along with all sorts of information and links and lots of stuff at our website, bonuspointspodcast.com. You can also follow or subscribe to Bonus Points wherever you're listening so that you never miss an episode, and be sure to share the show with a friend. Until next time, that's going to do it for today. I'm Mr. Astle. Thank you for joining us once again as we put out into the deep to explore the world of theology and beyond.